Welcome to Curiosity Capsules, an interview series exploring how scientific curiosity serves as an engine for developments in science and engineering, and showcasing how inquisitiveness is just as valuable as intelligence. For today's capsule, we are honored to be joined by Dr. Paul Riley, the director of the British Heart Foundation Oxbridge Center for Regenerative Medicine. The focus of his research program is to investigate the potential that lies in activated resident cardiovascular cells in the development of treatments for cardiovascular regeneration. Dr. Riley, thank you so much for joining us for today's Curiosity Capsule.
Well, thank you very much, Anna. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Dr. Riley, you are one of the United Kingdom's leading researchers in cardiovascular development and regeneration, having pioneered countless breakthroughs in the field of regenerative medicine. What are some of your roles and responsibilities as the Chair of Development and Cell Biology in the Department of Physiology, Anatomy, and Genetics at the University of Oxford?
Well, I guess first and foremost, I run a research team, an active group comprising postdoctoral scientists, students, PhD students, and technical staff, as well as support staff, which are really important. But within the department at large, we've got a number of different groupings that sit within a broad range of cell biology and developmental biology as well. And in combination, we work towards bringing them together in a sort of collaborative fashion to spearhead joint projects, joint research programs. And we do that by facilitating research meetings in which the junior trainee researchers present. And we also do it by hosting annual meetings in which we bring everybody together at a retreat or an away day. So my job is really to facilitate the very excellent activity across the department in this space and to bring people together to work collaboratively.
Can you tell us about your eureka moment, a moment during your research when you experienced a sudden triumphant discovery or revelation?
Yeah, absolutely. So that happened quite a long time ago now, actually. So we were working on aspects of heart development. We were trying to understand the molecular regulators or drivers of how the heart forms and particularly how the morphogenesis happens, how the heart is appropriately fashioned. And we had one particular interest in a pathway in which one of the downstream molecules called thymus and beta 4 played a role. And when we knocked out the protein or knocked out the gene and the protein thymus and beta 4, we ended up with a remarkable phenotype in that the outside layer of the heart was not formed properly. So the epicardium, and what happened was these epicardial cells kind of were trapped in the outer layer and had not been able to migrate inwards into the heart to contribute to all the cell types that we know they're very important for. That includes sort of vascular cells, smooth muscle cells, the cardiac fibroblast forming the skeleton of the heart, and a small number of endothelial cells, etc. And what we thought was, well, that's interesting. So if thymus and beta 4 is required for epicardial formation in that sense, might it be sufficient to sort of reactivate the epicardium in the adult scenario? And so we took adult heart explants and we added thymus and beta 4. And without thymus and beta 4, nothing happens. There's no outgrowth of these cells. There's no division. There's no migration. But when we added thymus and beta 4, we got activation of these cells, which are normally dormant in the adult. And they recapitulated their entire embryonic phenotype. And that was amazing to see those explants actually growing under this stimulus. And then we moved that into the animal proper, into animal models. And we're able to show that thymus and beta 4 could reactivate the what normally dormant adult epicardium in the context of heart injury. And this was really our big, big finding.
That is such an incredible discovery. And you're going off of this response, your team is recognized for making this landmark discovery in cardiovascular science, that thymus and B4 can mobilize dormant cells from the adult epicardium to form new blood vessels in the heart. So can you elaborate on the impacts and the applications of this groundbreaking project?
Well, what it shows is that there's the potential to reactivate these ordinarily dormant cells and to capture their developmental potential, which ordinarily we thought wasn't possible. So that these cells might have completely exited normal kind of stimulation through proliferation, differentiation, migration. And so what this was basically telling us was there was this potential to find the right molecule, the right drugs that might drive this process. And although thymosin beta-4 isn't necessarily the best drug because it has a very short half-life, et cetera, we were then able to develop screens where we could take these cells from human patients, from biopsies, put them into a multiplex number of wells, and then look to add drugs and see if we could stimulate them accordingly. And this has driven a translational program of drug discovery in this area. So what it tells us is there is the potential to find drugs which reactivate these adult cells, which are normally dormant, and in the context of injury, to contribute the cell types to replace and repair the heart, as would normally happen when the heart's being formed in the first place during development.
That is so interesting how you're able to bridge the gap between clinical practice and research through various translational programs. In addition to your research efforts, you've also been a driving force behind a brand new Institute of Developmental and Regenerative Medicine, IDRM, soon to come into operation. This flagship institute at the University of Oxford aims to combine insights into organ development and regeneration for the development of therapies in cardiology, neurology, and immunology. What are the key goals of IDRM, and in what ways is this institute unique?
Well, it's a really exciting project. It's something that I've been involved with for quite a while, and with my colleague George Hollander, who is the Action Professor of Developmental Medicine and an immunologist. And what we basically have derived is a brand new purpose-built research institute, which will be on the Headington campus, on the Old Road campus in Oxford. It'll be surrounded by other research institutes, so we'll have an ecosystem of people in looking at target discovery, at big data, at rheumatology inflammation, at genetics, and also alongside industry links. And the plan is to integrate three themes: immunology, cardiovascular, and neuroscience, with a simple view of understanding how to extrapolate from developmental biology and how the organs are formed, the brain, the central nervous system, the cardiovascular system, and the immune system, again, and to how to identify tractable cell types and approaches to bring about regenerative medicine from disease and injury scenarios. So moving from discovery science all the way through translational pipelines. And we're very fortunate that the building was sponsored and co-funded, if you like, by the British Heart Foundation and a very generous gift from Dr. Nakamura in Japan. So we've been very fortunate to move the project forward. And literally last Friday, so the 18th of February, we signed off on the building. So the university have now taken ownership. So it's very timely to be talking to you today. And we hope within about 3 months or so that we'll be relocating into the institute. And of course, it serves as a wonderful vehicle to bring in new trainees, new researchers from anywhere around the world, and to really integrate these three key thematic areas and to push, hopefully, new therapies in regenerative medicine.
Congratulations, and what an amazing interdisciplinary approach to regenerative medicine.
Thank you.
And finally, what is your vision for the future of regenerative medicine in the United Kingdom and beyond?
Well, that's a very difficult question in terms of just the breadth and scope of what's happening. And of course, there are many, many groups around the world doing fantastic cutting edge research into the area. And of course, you can break it down into all sorts of different approaches. You know, there's gene therapy, there's cell therapy, there's bioengineering, etc. And then there's the small molecule drug-like activation of resident cells that I've been referring to. I think for me, one of the key elements that needs to happen, I think is being understood now, is integrating how you stimulate new cell growth and new tissue replacement with conditioning of the local injury and disease environment. And by that, I mean the inflamed, highly fibrotic or scar-forming environment. Because obviously, one of the reasons perhaps that some therapies haven't worked so well to date is that we're trying to replace cells and tissues in a background that's quite toxic in terms of the inflammation and the fibrosis. So I think we need to do a combined therapy approach, and we need to think about, on the one hand, stimulating the tissue restoration and the regeneration of the tissue and the organ. We also need to think about conditioning the environment to make sure that that's conducive for it. So reduce the inflammation, reduce the scarring, not necessarily get rid of it completely, but modulate it to enable this environment that will allow these cells and tissues to restore properly and to reintegrate properly with what will be a functional organ. So I think the combined therapy approach is where we need to be heading. And there are many people working on the different aspects that I've referred to. What I really hope is that we can integrate better and understand from one another through the different disciplines, and actually bring about something like, as I say, combined therapy to target new cells and tissues, but also to immunomodulate and reduce scarring and fibrosis.
Amazing. Thank you so much for joining us today. On behalf of our director, Dr. Emilio Alarcón, and the whole Beats Research Radio team, we thank you all for tuning in. Beats Radio is supported by the University of Ottawa Heart Institute, the Beats Laboratory, and the Department of Biochemistry, Microbiology, and Immunology at the University of Ottawa. Don't forget to follow our Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube platforms to stay in the loop of all of our latest uploads.